I think we're wanting to talk about some of your latest works, but it has so much to do with the faults that we all seem to battle on a kind of a regular basis, and how to kind of break out of that. And start us off, Joyce, on a direction we should go tonight.
Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, such a beautiful scripture. It tells us basically that God has a good plan for our life, but that we'll never prove it out. We'll never actually really see it unless our mind is completely, entirely renewed. You know, I teach from an Amplified Bible, I always have, and I just, there's a lot of good translations, but I enjoy that one because I'll never read Greek or probably study Greek, and that Bible helps expound on things for me. So it says an entirely new way to think, an entirely new attitude. God has a good plan. Jesus died for us to have a good life. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have and enjoy our lives.
Yeah.
And have it in abundance to the full until it's flowing out of us and happens to get onto somebody else, which will then hopefully bring them into the kingdom. You know, tonight we're going to talk about power thoughts, and it goes a little bit beyond battlefield of the mind, talking about, this just talks about 12 things that you can think on purpose that will change your life. And what I suggested people do was take one for a month, confess it out loud, meditate on it, think about it, and then go to the next one. See, I think sometimes we rush past things too quick.
What you're talking about is elevating your thoughts, and that's where so many of us, when we're talking about faults, when I mess up, then I get to dwelling on the mess up.
Yeah, and what you focus on becomes the largest thing in your life. So for example, the Bible says looking away from all that will distract. Well, what does looking away mean? It really means get your mind off of the things that are distracting you from Jesus, put your mind back on Him.
That's good.
And so if I focus on what my faults are, they're just gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because what we focus on becomes bigger, but if I focus on Jesus, then He becomes bigger than my faults.
Mm.
Your thoughts are going to become your actions. Your thoughts affect your emotions, your moods. What you think, if you think it often enough, is eventually going to come out of your mouth. Our emotions can get us in a lot of trouble. Our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble. Our actions can get us in a lot of trouble, but all starts with our thoughts. Well, can we do anything about our thoughts? Yes. You can think things on purpose. You don't have to think on everything that comes into your head. You need to learn how to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's not. As 2 Corinthians says, cast down wrong imaginations and bring every thought. This is what it says, bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, that means there's a way that God wants me to think, and when I have a thought that doesn't line up with the way He wants me to think, then I need to get rid of that one, and I need to choose something better to think on. Now, the best thing to do when you're thinking something wrong is not try to just empty your head and think nothing, but to replace that wrong thought with a right thought. So, I can't do this. This is too much for me. If this happens one more time, I can't take it. You say, nope, that's not godly thinking. I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who strengthens me. So you've got to get rid of the can'ts and get yourself several huge cases of cans. Amen? We're going to talk about different strategies to win the battle in your mind. You need to begin to think and say, I would suggest 50 times a day to start with, God loves me unconditionally, and I am in right standing with God. God loves me unconditionally. He doesn't love me because of anything I do or don't do. God just loves me. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't buy His love. I can't get rid of His love. God loves me. Now, If we really believe that God loves us, it's going to fix a whole lot of other problems in our life. It's going to heal the brokenness, the woundedness, the pain we have from rejection, the pain we have from abandonment. It's going to give us confidence. It's going to make us bold and courageous. It's going to get rid of fear in our lives. Love, knowing that you're loved, which is what every person wants. Every person wants to feel valuable. Every single person wants to feel that they matter. Nobody wants to feel like that they're useless, that they don't matter, that nobody cares about them, and what am I here for anyway? Everybody needs to know that they're valuable. I would like to tell you today that you are created by the hand of God on purpose, and you are an unrepeatable miracle. There is nobody else like you. There never will be anybody else like you. And God has got an amazingly wonderful plan for your life. I believe that. But if you don't believe it, it's never going to happen. The things that I'm teaching you are things that you must take and you must believe and you must begin to meditate on these things. Roll your mind over and over and over them. Think about them when you get up. Think about them when you go to bed. Don't go to bed thinking nobody loves me. You go to bed thinking God loves me. God loves me. And I may not be where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm improving every day. God is on my side. Your thoughts and your words are two of the most important things in your life.
I don't know that we can get through all 12 topics, but I love this when you have to talk about this. I am difficult to offend. I love that line.
Yeah, you know, some people will say, well, you know, I can't help it, I'm just touchy.
Yeah.
Well, first you need to stop saying you're touchy.
Yeah.
And then just kind of get over yourself and realize that you don't have to be touchy. But the Bible says love is not easily offended, it's not touchy. And so I've learned and try to teach the people that I have the privilege of teaching the power of calling things that are not as though they are. Romans 4:17, we serve a God who speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold as if they already existed. We can't just confess anything into our life and get it, but if we get our mouth in agreement with God's word, then those things can become a reality in our life. Because every time you say something, it's helping to renew your mind to that fact. So meditation, the Bible says we're to meditate on the word day and night that you might see and do and then have good success. Matter of fact, I had a woman tell me one time, she said, you talk about not being easily offended. So she said, I decided I was going to count and keep a record. And she said, in 1 week, I had 40 opportunities to be offended. And I turned every one of them down.
No way. So good. That's good.
See, there are some opportunities that we want to take. There are some opportunities we want to take, and there's some opportunities we don't want to take.
No, thank you.
And so let's stop taking the opportunity
to be offended.
So why not the moment that we even begin to feel offended, why not then just start saying under your breath or thinking, if you can't say it out loud, I am not going to be offended.
Amen.
I am not going to ruin another day of my life being offended.
So good. You know, the reason why I enjoy this so much is because you weave the scripture in so it just sounds like it's part of your language. It's, and I think that's part about being a partaker of the word, that it's so in you that it flows. That's what's happening in this book, too. Mm-hmm. The word flows in and out of what you're writing so that you're not really sure where joy starts and the Bible ends and back and forth. It's beautiful. That line that you used on that whole part of I'm difficult to offend, that just jumped out at me. There's another one here. I love people and I really enjoy helping them.
Yeah.
I just thought that's great.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I used to get up in the morning and think, I don't like people
exactly.
And I hope they leave me alone today. It's like one person said to me, if I don't know you, I don't need to know you.
Exactly.
And but you know, here's the thing. People are just everywhere. Yeah. I mean, they're just absolute. I mean, I used to just get along with everybody till somebody came home. It was, you know, I was very spiritual when nobody was in the house.
Exactly.
But you do have to deal with people.
Yeah.
And we can't just decide that we're going to like certain ones. Yeah. I mean, we're always going to get along with some people better than other people. You know, I don't necessarily think that you have to even like everybody to love them.
Yeah.
But God does expect us to love them. And love is not a feeling that we have. It's a way that we choose to treat people. And so helping people is really what we're called to do.
Yeah.
I love Acts 10:38. See how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Take every opportunity that God puts in front of you. How many opportunities do we miss to help somebody because our mind is not even on them? We already really don't want to do anything for them. We're hoping they do something for us. How we treat other people, all people, not just people we're trying to impress, not just people that can do something for us, not just people that we think are important, but all people.
So good.
Especially somebody maybe that can't do anything for us, or are the disenfranchised, are the ignored. Instead of going into a room and looking for who looks like the most important person that I might get some favor with, why not look for the person that looks the loneliest?
Yeah.
Well, what if every morning you wrote down the names of five people that were going to be targets that day?
Yeah.
I'm going to target these people for blessing.
Yeah.
And so whether you send an encouraging email, or you just say, hey, I appreciate everything you do for me, or you're out shopping and you pick up a little something you think that they would like, or whatever, it is life-changing to purposely do things for other people. But our mind has to be renewed to the fact that really, to be honest, the real us, the born-again spiritual us, we want to do that.
Yeah.
It's our flesh that holds us back.
This is the battlefield of the mind Bible. Joyce, tell us a little bit about your heart for this before we get into it.
Okay, well, study Bibles are really great.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for people who want to study. And I've been sharing pretty strong now for a couple of years that we hear all the time, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. You need to read the Word. And of course, I'm not saying not to read the Word, but I think I'd like to say it a different way. I think I'd like to say, let's study the Word.
Yeah.
Because see, we can speed read through the Bible and not learn anything. And so I've found out for me, just because I have it highlighted in yellow doesn't mean I know it. You know, I don't know it until it's a reality in my life. So study is what really changes us. It's digging in for ourselves with God and studying the Word. So just one thing that is a super plus benefit in this Bible, and this is probably my favorite feature. Every scripture in the Bible on thoughts, the mind, the mouth, words, is highlighted in blue.
Mm.
And so it's very helpful to me sometimes just to go to Proverbs, and I know some of the chapters that have several scriptures in it about the mouth. And so in this Bible, you could take Proverbs, open it up, and you could go through and just read all the scriptures that are highlighted in blue, and you'd have a quick Bible study on the mind and the mouth. And I can't think of any two subjects that are more needed than those, because what's in the heart comes out of the mouth.
Yeah.
And our words minister life or death. Proverbs 18:21.
Yeah.
In the mouth is the power of life and death. But the verse before that says, and those who indulge it must eat the fruit of it rather for life or death, or the one after that.
If you've missed some of the show, this is what we've been dealing with.
Right.
The Word of God, helping you to elevate your thinking into a realm that Jesus can help you the best. Joyce, we've got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Would you please pray with the people that are watching again? Some are going through some tough times. They haven't gotten a hold of this yet.
Okay.
Some of them don't even hardly know the Word.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
Well, first of all, any problem you have, I don't care what it is or how long you've had it, your answer can be found in God's Word. Yeah. And don't ever think that you can't understand the Bible because there are too many easy translations now, and study Bibles like this will help you understand it. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, whatever's hurting people, I do ask you to help them with it.
Thank you, Jesus.
But if they don't learn to love your Word, there's just going to be something else come along. So I pray that every person watching tonight will learn to love your Word and never go again to your Word out of obligation, but because they want to really appreciate everything in your Word and to take it into their life and let it become part of them. I thank you for all the people that are watching, and I thank you that they are going to know your love and the power of your resurrection.
Yes, God.
And they're going to see the Word working in their life in a phenomenal way. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God loves you so much.